702.
News and current affairs.
So the DA is telling on our president, President Cyril Ramaphosa, to the FBI. Yeah? To say, please investigate this issue of the $4 million that are alleged to have been found in the president's home. What do you think of that? Give me a call. Love to hear from you. I'm going to have a conversation now with Gando Maswime, infrastructure expert at and lecturer in the civil engineering department at the University of Cape Town. And just to get a bit of insight as to what's going on in Nelson Mandela Bay municipality. The people there have no water. We are seeing that business and non-profit organizations such as the Gift of the Givers have rolled up their sleeves to try and help in that situation. But why are we here? We're also hearing that it is the failures of the coalition governments since 2016 that have not been able to crystallize and be able to run a government that provides the required services for that part of our country. What's going on in Gqeberha at the Nelson Mandela Bay municipality? And Gundo Maswime is here to talk to me about that. Gundo, thank you so much for joining us. What's going on in Nelson Mandela Bay municipality?
All right. Thank you. What is actually happening in Nelson Mandela Bay municipality is that they have their main water supply from the Vaal Dam, which is sitting in the Vaal in Gauteng, at the border of Gauteng and the Free State.
Yeah.
So you know that there's no drought in Gauteng. So the Vaal Dam is still supplying, but it only supplies just over 60% of the water needs for Nelson Mandela Bay Metro. So it connects through tunnels and channels and gets into rivers and makes it all the way into the Fish River, where they abstract and treat the water in Nelson Mandela Bay. But that abstraction supplies mostly if you take Nelson Mandela Bay and split it in the middle, they only supply on the eastern side of Nelson Mandela Bay. But they have built a pipe going into the west, which is the portion that uses water from the Nelson Mandela Bay region. There are three dams that are on the western side.
Yes.
So these three dams are the ones that have been affected severely by the droughts. And because they have been affected severely, though normally they would provide 60 megaliters per day, they are now sitting at half that capacity, about 30 megaliters per day, because one of the dams, the barge, which is a floating pump that pumps water from the dam for abstraction, is hitting, because the dam is at around 12%, 12.1 or so percent. When they pump now, they're starting to pump mud out of the dam. So what they've been trying to do is to now move the barge into a section that is deeper. But for that, because of that, they are now having to balance the water supply and make sure that everyone gets water. So what that would involve is some sort of water rationing or water shedding, where they would close one suburb for a while and then provide to the other suburb. However, they also had long-term plans because they had anticipated that something like this would happen, probably after the experience in Cape Town, and they had started sinking boreholes in strategic places so that they can assist with reticulation. But these projects will only be finished around September. So right now they are trying to maneuver with what they have. They don't even have time to clean the reservoirs, because the moment you clean the reservoir, you have decommissioned it, and the reservoir should be holding water for about 24 hours. So they are using them to balance. That's why some people will find water coming from their tap that is a little bit dirty.
Let me understand before you continue, Gundo. So you're saying to me that the Eastern Cape, or at least the part where the Eastern Cape has been receiving a bulk of its drinking water from, is in a drought.
Yes, it's in a drought, and right. That is about where they were receiving about 35% of their water. The bulk, which is 210 megaliters of the 278, it comes from the Valdem.
Right, so that part is in a drought. We have a drought that's, and that is, I suppose, objectively the main reason why there's no water.
That is the main reason why there's no water, because there are efforts to carry it across to the part that is drought to try and augment the supply. They could only do so much. Some of their projects have not been commissioned, probably by September. Some of the big balls that have been thinking. In fact, the balls they have finished. They found that the water that's coming is coming out with a lot of iron and manganese.
Yes,
and they had finished this in 2018, and then decided it means they need to build a special treatment plant to treat this water, because it's not your normal groundwater that you find. So they have started building that plant, and they are, if everything goes well, they should be done by September.
Yeah.
So if what people normally call day zero, which in this case really does not apply, if it was to happen anytime before September, then there would have been a problem. But there are other risks as well.
But you would agree with me that there is a problem at the moment in that communities simply do not have water.
Yes, there is a problem in certain parts, which is, and it's not a case of it being completely dry. It's a case of them having to close at some point and then having to open at some point while they are trying to, as I said, to move the barge, the pump that they are using to pump in one of the three dams, which is Mpofu Dam, because they have Churchill, Mpofu, and Lori Dam. So it's the Mpofu Dam that, while they are still moving the barge, there will be shortages.
So you would be, would I be wrong in understanding you to be saying that these are not necessarily issues that have to do with decisions that are made at council level, but rather it is issues that have to do with the objective realities of a drought?
No, in fact, it is actually the opposite of what you are saying.
Right.
Their real challenge is governance. It's not the technical or the administrative aspects.
Yeah.
Their real challenge is governance. And I will tell you why I'm saying that. All these technical plans, they need to have an approved budget. So because council has been sitting intermittently, that is the first thing, the budget was approved late. The midterm budget was only approved, I think, in March somewhere.
Yes.
And in some places, already by December of the previous year, they've already approved the budget, but they approved it late.
Yes.
So it means projects could not start before the budgets are approved. And after approval, there's the process of procurement. So that is the first challenge. The second challenge is that it's the only municipality, probably in the history of humanity, that had two municipal managers at the same time. So council went to, they had a council sitting.
Yeah,
and the different factions did not agree on who should be appointed as a municipal manager, and they ended up having to appoint both, because HR felt if they take one side, then that will also be it will be a problem. It will be career limiting if you are heading HR and you choose one over the other.
Yes.
So they have two municipal managers. So it means the technical director responsible for water must table all his needs for the year and emphasize where the risks are, what the plans are, and then take this report to an EXCO, which is the administrative team that is led by the municipal manager with all the senior managers. They are called Section 57 managers.
Yes.
So from there, this report must go to a committee called Section 80. Section 80 committee is formed by the equivalent of ministers in a local municipality. So this minister, they are called MMCs, Member of Mayoral Council.
Yes.
So the Member of Mayoral Council chairs a committee called Section 80, where this report will then go through the Section 80. It's interrogated even by other political parties before it can go to the Mayoral Committee. And if it passes the Mayoral Committee, the report is changing along the way. Suggestions are coming and questions are being asked. It should eventually go to council, and council will then approve. Now, if this if the Exco is not sitting, there are two municipal managers,
The
Section 8 is not sitting, the MMC has been suspended. I think since last year, I stand to be corrected, but
yes,
the MMC is in the courts trying to come back. So there's no MMC responsible for water. So Section 80 is not sitting. If Section 80 is not sitting, reports cannot just go to NACO, because even at the NACO, that MMC must present that report. And then it will be passed on to the mayor, who will present it at council. So that whole governance structure has been wiped out, and that is what is causing delay of approval of this budget and that budget and this. And when you are an administrator, you are an engineer there, you know that if you make a move, there's an audit finding. The auditor general is going to come and say you did this without going through council. And if you did it without going through council, that's an audit finding. It's called an authorized expenditure. It can be used to get you out of the system.
Mm.
So that is where the paralysis is.
Yeah, yeah. So the paralysis is not necessarily because of the drought. Yes, that's an understandable objective reality. There are certain realities that it's very little to do anything about. But you're saying to me that the administrative and the governance issues are the main role player in why we are in this crisis. Would you call it a crisis?
Yeah, it is. It is a crisis. It's a crisis because, except for the shortages here and there that are being experienced now, there are some major risks that can lead to more serious challenges. For example, you are taking the water across to the west and you are only using one big pump station. You need to double that up. Plans are there for that to be doubled. If anything happens to that pump station, it means they will the western side of the municipality will sit with less than half of the population who will be having access to water. So those are the real risks that we can say. It's a crisis when you sit with that risk, and it's a serious risk. And it's got everything to do with governance. It's not an engineering issue. The engineers are on the ball. They know what needs to be done.
Yes.
But now the processes cannot be followed because some structures, some governance structures, have been wiped out by the instability that is existing in the municipality.
Gunda, we've also heard that there are major leakages in the pipes that point to substandard maintenance over the years. Would you get to talk about that?
Yes. A municipality like that, you'll understand, and that's an endemic problem across the country, that our infrastructure is normally poorly located, and from about 1976, there was very little infrastructure maintenance happening because the government of the time shifted their budgets from things like infrastructure maintenance to policing and the army.
Mm.
So that from 1976, there's many pipes that were put there before 1976, and it meant that from that time, the maintenance would have been very little. Things would have picked up in 1994, but now you cannot do the normal routine maintenance when it's too late. You will only focus on where you are having great losses. So that is that has been the program. The second thing is you will focus where you have got pipes that have been determined to be dangerous, like asbestos pipes. So they still have places with asbestos pipes with a program where bit by bit they are replacing those pipes. There are places where they have clay pipes that have been so badly worn out, they are trying to replace that. But that is a problem across the country. But when you have governance issues, you do not do any routine maintenance, you start reacting. Because somebody has to say, this is a big emergency, this line cannot be allowed to collapse, and only then the process to act will start. But even in under those circumstances, when the Auditor General comes, they are not going to look at the circumstances. They are going to say, this is the processes that you said you follow. Have you followed the processes? So if there's no governance structure to ratify some of those processes, it means the processes will not be there for anyone to follow. The committee cannot sit. That must approve something. That thing will not be approved. So that problem, the issue of maintenance has also hit that snake.
Yeah. Since 1976, yeah?
Yes.
If it was up to you, Gundo, what would be the low-hanging fruits in terms of solving this crisis for in a way that would provide us with a sustainable solution, a long-term sustainable solution? Where would you start?
Well, knowing that the real problem is in governance, I will freeze the government's structure, which is called Section 139 in the Municipal Finance Management Act, where you say we are suspending the municipal council. The council can no longer make decisions. We get an administrator who replaces the council and makes the necessary approvals, comes with the team, yeah, make the necessary approvals while they sort out their differences. It's a reality of coalition governments across the country, probably with an exception of Ekurhuleni. We have seen historically that these challenges tend to come up over and over.
Yeah.
Again, unfortunately, Nelson Mandela Bay, they have not been able to manage it.
So, is this is feasible? You've pointed to some legislation where this can happen, where we can have that particular municipality being run under administration. This can happen?
It can happen, it's feasible, but it is not without challenges. Because, first of all, the municipal council and ward councillor who become instrumental in making sure that the communities anticipate the work that government is doing. So it's possible that if council is suspended, a ward councillor can instruct people to stop any work from happening in their wards as a retaliation. So that is also possible. We have seen that in other parts of the country, and it's very easy to stop a municipal project with any pretext.
Yes.
So that is the challenge. The second thing is that the kind of the history of Section 139 across the country, their success rate needs to be probed. We are yet to see a successful intervention. What normally happens is you can manage and maintain what is there. But to really turn an institution around, especially a big metro like Nelson Mandela Bay, by bringing an outsider who's coming in as an administrator, even some of the greatest administrators have always struggled to make that turnaround. So in an instance like this, we now have to really look back and say, where have we done this and it was successful? There aren't many success stories. I think what it does is you can arrest what is there at the moment, and it also gives an opportunity for politicians to rethink their actions. And when they come back, they might be more sober and
Are you calling for it because it is the only instrument at our disposal at the moment, or is it because you think that some administrator, if given that particular job, would be the first to do the right thing?
I am really calling for it because it's in an instance where the administrative or technical aspects are in place. And it's a governance issue, which is more on the political front.
Yes.
Yeah, we don't really have the instrument to fix politics.
Yeah.
There's no instruments. If it was an administrative issue, we'd say this engineer is incompetent, this person is not qualified for this, but the people are there and they are competent. The only main challenge is the governance issues.
It's actually the politics, if I understand you correctly, Gundo.
Yes, you can call it that. Yeah. It's really at political level.
Having spoken to you over the last minutes, I was at one point encouraged, but now I feel like the people of Nelson Mandela Bay are in even greater trouble than I thought when we entered this conversation. Would that be fair?
I am an optimist generally. So I would say that the real prayer is that the biggest risks must not manifest, because if the biggest risks manifest a breakup in the system somewhere else, then only then it's going to be bad. What they are now doing, building fan pipes and waiting and so on, is going to alleviate, but you don't want to be fetching your water from anywhere outside your own house. So that, unfortunately, might not be preventable at a certain point. So they must hold on until September and hope for a miracle. If they hold on until September, yes, they probably will be able to overcome the problem.
Gundo Maswene, thank you so much, my brother, for clarifying some of these issues for us. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Welcome.
All right. What do you make of that, eh? The people of Gqeberha, of the Nelson Mandela municipality, have to depend on miracles and prayers now. And it's not the drought that's a problem, albeit, yes, it's there. It's not the unavailability of technical skills to solve the problem if the governance structures are put in place. It's the politics.